Bibles, I want you to turn to John chapter 21 today. John chapter 21, and we're in this series called The Overcoming Life. And if you haven't been here, that's okay, because every one of these messages are standalone messages. Today we're going to be talking about overcoming comparison. And so look at somebody and say, you're going to overcome comparison today. That's what we're going to overcome today. Last week we talked about overcoming sickness. And all these, I appreciate Travis, who's back there in the sound booth today, because he puts these on our website at hfchurch.com. You can go back and listen to the podcast, or you can go to churchesaid.com and watch the service live that way. But we're going to start off in John chapter 21, and this is to kind of give you a little background. Jesus has been resurrected. He's appeared to the disciples. This is the third time that he's appeared to them. And he's actually has just restored Peter by doing the, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Because if y'all remember the story, Peter denied Jesus. And Peter every time is like, yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. And then in verse 18, we pick up what Jesus says to him. And he says, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. So he's telling him, verse 19 tells us what he's telling him. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Everybody, say this to yourself, follow Jesus. Okay. Look at somebody else and say, don't follow me. But this is what Jesus was saying to Peter. Peter, this is all you got to worry about. There's lots of, you know, I studied this, and there's lots of reasons why the scholars think that Jesus, because basically this is what I feel like it is when Peter denied Jesus those three times, and when he had a little girl at the campfire saying, hey, you're one of the guys that followed Jesus, and he said, no, I didn't. I don't even know who he was. So this is Jesus basically telling Peter, you had a fear of following me to the death, but now you're not going to have this fear. And you're actually going to die. You're going to follow me in martyrdom is basically what Jesus is telling him. So Peter is very encouraged right now. All right. But let's keep reading, and we're going to see this. In verse 20, it says, then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. All right, we're just going to stop right there. Whose gospel are we reading? John. Who's writing this? John. Yes. So John is saying, then Peter turned around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. These guys had some issues. I'm just going to tell you that. These 12 guys that followed Jesus, they're all the time jockeying for position. They all wanted to be the greatest. Even the sons of thunder, James and John, their mother, a few weeks ago was Mother's Day. Their mother actually went to Jesus and said, hey, can my son sit on your right and your left in your kingdom? And he was like, honey, you don't know what you're asking. And so there was all this jockeying for position. And if you have studied the gospel, Peter, James, and John were kind of the three guys that were really close to Jesus. And they're all the time jockeying for this position. They want to be the number one disciple. And this is still going on right at this moment. And because even John says in his gospel, he said, then Peter, turning to me, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. John's basically saying, I'm God's favorite, not you, Peter, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper. Okay, so now we know that John's definitely a mama's boy, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Lord, who is the one who betrays you? And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? He was pointing to John. What about John? You just told me what I'm going to have to go through. What about John? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. He was basically saying, don't compare yourself to John. You just follow me. You just worry about what I'm doing in your life. We need some more of that today, don't we? In verse 23, it says, then this saying went out among the brethren. And notice this, Jesus never did say this. Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple, talking about John, would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die. But if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? That's what Jesus actually said. And so here's the outline for today. We're going to take this story about Peter and John comparing themselves all the time. Who's going to be the greatest? There's even comparing them. Okay, Jesus encouraged me to tell me that John's even going to die a worse death than me. That's basically what he's saying. And Jesus is like, I'm not going to do it. You just worry about follow me. I wanted to entitle this, Stay in Your Lane, Bro, is what I want. You know that commercial? That's what I want to entitle this message, but I had to stay with the overcoming life, so it's overcoming comparison. So here's the outline that we're going to follow today. Number one, we're going to look at the curse of comparison. There is good comparison, but we're going to look at the negative side of it today. There's good comparisons that you can do in life when you're comparing yourself to something to inspire you or things like that. But we're going to talk about when comparison gets over into what Peter and John was doing. It's not healthy. And number two is considerations concerning comparison, talking about how it happens, and then the cause of comparison, and then by the time we get finished today, you're going to know the cure of comparison. All right, is everybody ready to get started? Okay, here's number one. Number one, we're going to look at the curse of comparison, and here's one of the curses of comparison is it produces inferiority, which is insecurity, or it produces superiority, which is pride. And basically, if you're constantly comparing yourself, you know, to somebody or something or whatever, you know, you're either walking around, you know, you compare yourself to somebody you just met, I'm either better than or worse than, better than or worse than. And people do this all the time. Social media. Let me just tell you something about social media right now. Social media is everybody's highlight reels. They don't tell you all the bad stuff. Everybody's got bad stuff going on in their life, all right? We're all on this planet. So everybody's putting out, you know, their highlight reel. So you can't compare yourself to that. But it's constantly better than, worse than, better than, worse than. And if you're constantly living in that cycle, this is Romans 8, verses 5 through 6, says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if you're constantly comparing yourself to others, let me tell you something, you're living in the flesh. You're not living after the Spirit. And it's, you know, this is not a gender thing. Men do it, women do it, kids do it, everybody does it. This comparison trap, it's a sin, and God doesn't want you to get caught up in it. God wants you to keep your focus on Him and follow Him, and that's the cure, is following Jesus for your own personal life. I heard a joke the other day, and I thought it was really good. It was like, you know, because he was basically it was Pastor Jimmy. He was teaching on this in a marriage conference, and he was saying, you know, women do a lot of comparing. He was talking about, but men do it too, so I want you to hear that. But the joke that he used was, he was like, I'll give you an example. Two men can come to church wearing the same shirt, and they can be friends for life. And two women can come to church wearing the same blouse, and they're enemies. am I telling the truth? Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. So that's one of the curses of comparison. That's all the time producing this better than, worse than scenario in your thought life, and that's not good. Romans 8 says that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. All right, here's number two. On the curse of comparison is it hinders our trust in God, is what it does. It hinders our trust in God when you're constantly comparing yourself to other people. Peter, using the example of Peter there in John chapter 21, this was we don't see this in Scripture, but this was what was going on in his thought processes. Does Jesus love John more than he loves me? Because John sure does tell me all the time that he's God's favorite, that he... But does Jesus really love John more than he loves me? And why would he have me martyred but let John live forever? Jesus never said that, right? But that's the thought processes that are going on in him, and it was hindering Peter's trust in God. And then so that's another thing, the curse of comparison. The third thing that comparison does is it opens the door for the devil to work. And this is Scripture, and I'm going to show you this in Scripture in James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, it says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, and it's talking about envy is a root of comparison, where all this exists, confusion and every evil thing are there. It's not good. It opens the door to the enemy. I love this scripture in Psalms 106, verses 16 through 17. It says, when they envied Moses in the camp and Aaron, the saint of the Lord, the earth opened up and swallowed Dathan and covered the faction of Abiram. And And I was like, there's your cure of comparison right there. Lord, just open up the earth. Swallow them up. But that's actually in Scripture, and that actually happened in the Old Testament because they were envious and jealous of Moses and Aaron because they were leading the children of Israel. It also happened to Jesus in Mark chapter 15, verses 9 through 10. It says, but Pilate answered them, saying, do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. They were jealous and envious of Jesus and his ministry. So now we're going to look at, so that's the curse of comparison. Now we're going to look at considerations concerning comparison. So that you understand when we get to the cure, and you got to think this way. You got to understand, a lot of people don't understand this, and here's the first one. Nobody gets the whole package. Okay, I don't care if you see somebody you think they're gifted, they have the best body, they have all the talents, they have all the gifts and all this. I promise you, they don't have the whole package. Nobody gets the whole package. Only Jesus had the whole package. And that's in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 24 through 25. It talks about the Apostle Paul is saying every one of us is a member of the body of Christ and every one of us has a part in it. Amen? We all need each other. That's why the Bible says do not forsake the assembling of yourselves, especially when you see the day approaching, because we all need each other. I need my dad on the front row. We all need that. We all need that. And I do. I tell Dad all the time, Dad, I appreciate you being on the front row because it blesses me to see my dad on the front row. But we all need each other. We all need each other. And everybody said, amen. Here's the second one. The greater a person's influence, the less their impact. The greater a person's influence, the less their impact. And I went through this comparing myself to other ministries. I'm just going to tell off on myself. Comparing myself to other pastors, and I'd go to pastors' conferences. And I can remember one time going to a pastor's conference, and this guy's got multi-site campuses, pastoring like 30-some thousand people, and got all kinds of services going on the weekend. I was like, man, this is it. You know, this guy's got so much influence and all this. And I read his book, and he talked about, yeah, I'm an evangelist, and I have a TV ministry, and I have a large church, and I have all this influence, but I'm not making a very big impact. And I was like, I was like, I didn't understand that, because I was wanting influence. And through his teaching, I reversed what I was wanting to become as a pastor. And I would rather pastor in Little Leedy, Oklahoma, and have an impact on generations than having a whole bunch of influence. And I'm going to give you an example of this. Jada and I, we have reached the age now where we're starting to see people. Not, well, first of all, I have a grandson coming, maybe today. Hurry up, Taya. Hurry up. But we had this happen here a few weeks ago. Is one of the boys, and it was Patricia's son, Colton, had graduated, and Luke just had to leave. Luke is another one, and I'm seeing these kids, Brooke, you know, will be graduating or just graduated, and I see all these kids that have been in our church, and like Colton and Luke had been in our church since they were in nursery. And so as a pastor, I've seen them grow up and then graduate. That's what I call impact. That's what I call impact. And just last week, I wish he was here to hear this. He'll have to listen to the podcast. But I was telling Luke this kid is so talented and so gifted, and he's been raised right in the right home and all these things. This kid can, some of you don't even know this, but he can just pick up an instrument and start playing it. It's amazing. Never been taught guitar, you know, piano, drums. He can just do it. He made a 34 on his ACT. He's got a full ride to OU. I'm going to brag on Luke for a little bit. I texted him last Sunday, and I was just telling him, hey man, thanks for all you're doing on the worship team, because he's actually been teaching his brother Parker on how to play the drums, and Parker's doing an awesome job. And Luke texted me back, and he said, thank you, Pastor Martin. He said, that was a great message today. And I was just, that meant a lot to me, because I'm like, that's what I'm talking about, impacting generations. Yes. And this kid has grown up in our church. So my whole deal about ministry has changed, you know, about, you know, having the large church and all that. I want to make an impact for the kingdom of God. Here's the next one. God places the most profound giftings in the people and places we least expect. And that is so true. And that's another one of the 1 Corinthians 12, about the, talking about the body of Christ. Here's another one. The greater the responsibility, influence, or authority, the greater the stress. Because after I got behind the scenes and I started hearing this gentleman, and it was Pastor Robert Morse that I was listening to teach about having a large church, I was like, I don't want a large church. Because he was talking about all the problems with staff and all the problems that go on in the church. And so the greater the responsibility, the greater the influence, or the greater the authority, the greater the stress. And then here's some more considerations about comparison. We all deal with insecurity. We all deal with insecurity, every one of us in here. You can't leave here saying, oh, I'm so secure in God, I don't have any insecurity. We all have insecurity. The next thing is everyone has pain. Even if you're comparing yourself to somebody and you think they're all that in a bag of chips, they got pain. I promise you, everybody does. And greater blessings and giftings produce greater accountability with God. And Jesus even said in Luke 12:48, for everyone to whom much is given from him, much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. And I want to go back up to the one about everyone has pain. Because there was a story in the book that I'm reading, Overcoming Life by Pastor Jimmy Evans, that really hit home with me just because I have seen it in my family as well. And I knew that Dad had told me that my aunts were going to be here today, and I want to share this. Everyone has pain, and my Uncle Lance is not here today. He's at home with Jesus, and he's doing great. And I loved my Uncle Lance. I remember growing up, when he would come to school, all of us guys that were playing sports, I was like, watch this. And one day I had him up here in the old gym. How many remember the old gym? Okay. I had him come in the old gym with me, and Lance walked out there, hasn't been in basketball practice forever, and he is shooting three-pointers, actually NBA three-pointers, effortlessly, jumping up this beautiful jump shot, just releasing it, and it is nothing but net, you know. And I remember all my friends were like, you know, my gosh, this guy can score. And I had the honor and the privilege of doing his memorial service, and I had a guy that's one of our teachers up here that's a stat nerd, Clint McClendon, great guy. He went back and dug out all of his stats and everything, and I was blown away by his stats in high school because there was no three-point line. And he almost averaged 30 points a game. And I mean, it was unbelievable what he could do. And I still have people come up to me when I say, my name is Mark Hain. Hey, did you know Lance? You know Lance Hain? Yeah, he's my uncle. And he's like, man, that guy could play some ball. You know, he could pitch. He could play basketball. He could do all this stuff. But and some of the people that I have talked to, they've even, man, I was jealous. They even told me I was jealous. I was envious of Lance. Man, that guy could play some hoop, and he had every girl around here after him, and he was a great-looking guy. But they didn't know what he battled, his pain. And his pain, he had some mental illness things, and he battled schizophrenia, even at that age. Back then they sure didn't know, but we're still trying to, you know, the mental illness thing, and I'm a big proponent for that and as a pastor, and I talk about it openly about things that I have dealt with, and I have to take some medicine every day for all that, and I have no shame in it, because I want to teach people that you need to go get help. You need to go get help. And Lance, you know, even though everybody in the family tried to help him and everything, but he had a lot of pain, and I'll never forget, you know, there was one day up here that he came up front. And a lot of people didn't know this about Lance, because if you just seen Lance and the way he was, I mean, this guy had a huge heart, big heart. He would help anybody. But when people saw him, they was like, man, there goes crazy Lance. I'll just be honest with you, you know. And there was one day he came to church, and he was sitting up here, and he came up after at prayer time. He was here at this church, and he came up for prayer time, and he grabbed my hands, and he looked at me. And he said, Mark, I'm just tired of being like this. He said, I want you to pray healing over me. And so I prayed for him, you know, believing God. Now, he got his healing a whole nother way. He's in his right mind with Jesus today. And he constantly talked about, I love Jesus, I love my mom, and I love Jesus, you know. And that's the way he lived. And I remember just, he had pain is what I'm trying to say. but everybody was jealous and comparing to that. I want to be like Lance. No, you didn't. Yeah. No, you didn't. And he wouldn't want that on you either. I have a lot of stories about Lance, and I loved my Uncle Lance. And Pastor Jimmy shared a story that made me think of my Uncle Lance in his book. And he was talking about that he would, in Amarillo, when he pastored there, he worked out at the YMCA there. And he said there was a gentleman that had a locker next to me. And he said, and he was an older man. And he said, we struck up a conversation. And he said, I started getting to know this guy just because we shared lockers at the YMCA. And then I found out that he was he owned like almost three-fourths of the Texas Panhandle. Very wealthy man. Very wealthy man. But he said he was like 80 years old and was faithfully working out and all this. And had a, you know, nice home, nice vehicles. Had, you know, and when everybody looked at him or when he came in, you know, Pastor Jimmy started noticing that. I was listening to, man, everybody wanted what this guy had. They wanted to be like him. And as Pastor Jimmy got to know him, this man eventually asked Pastor Jimmy out to lunch one day, and wasn't even a member of their church or anything. And he told Pastor Jimmy, found out Jimmy was a pastor and all this. He said, I just want to tell you something. He goes, everybody wants what I have, you know, money, land, cars, vehicles. And he said, I would trade it all to get my daughter off the streets. And he talked about, my daughter has schizophrenia. And I can't keep her, you know, well, I'll get her in a place of care, and then she's out on the street somewhere. So he said, I'm constantly flying all over the United States of America trying to find my daughter and to get her the help that she needs. And he said, I would trade it all to have that taken care of. And it just made me think of my Uncle Lance. And so what Pastor Jimmy was saying in that story, he said, when you're comparing yourself to other people, just remember this, everybody has some kind of pain that's going on in their life or in their family. And so those are some of the considerations for, so I just want you to think about that when you're comparing yourself to somebody else. Everybody has pain, you know, and that's why we all need each other. All right, here's the second thing, or the third thing, the cause of comparison. The cause of comparison. I wanted to honor my Uncle Lance on Memorial Day and tell his story. I know he would want me to do that. Number one is the lack of acceptance in who God made me to be. And Matthew 22, verse 39 says, Jesus said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Implied in this, the most loving thing that you can do is love yourself. Self-love. Because without that, you can't love somebody else. And we have too many people, even Christians, walking around lack of acceptance in who God made me to be. They're constantly comparing, you know, themselves to other people. God made you who you are. Be you. Only you can be you. And be you. Amen. All right. Number two is lack of security and identity in God. And this is Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 8, where Jeremiah is basically saying, blessed is the person who trusts in God. And so when you're secure and you know what your identity is in Christ, you're going to have that trust relationship with God, and you're going to be secure, and you're going to know who you are. The third cause is greed. And a lot of people, when we hear the word greed, we immediately think of people that are wealthy and that have money. And let me tell you, there are poor people that have greed. All right, it's not a poor thing or a rich thing. It's a character, a mental thing. And basically, greed, the best definition I could find was it's excessive desires. God wants to give us desires of our heart. But sometimes the excessive desires, no. You know, if it's a greed, and greed is not just with wealthy people, it's with poor people as well. Then number four, the cause of comparison is the wrong concept of God. I've had to deal with this with somebody for quite a while, and I keep thinking, my gosh, you know, after a little bit, you'd think they'd ought to start getting it, and they still haven't got it. But what's going on, the root of it, is they're constantly comparing themselves to other people. And it causes this wrong concept of God. And they basically say, well, my gosh, God loves the heathen more than me. I go to church, I tithe, I'm faithful to church and all this, and all this stuff is happening in my life. But I see the people that are out in the world and they're blessed, and I'm like, here's the deal, that's a wrong concept of God. God loves you. It rains on the just and on the unjust. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, So, and we, I've had this conversation with this person several times. That's a wrong concept of God, and the root of that, the cause of it, is they're constantly comparing themselves to other people. Here's number five, is the lack of love for others. When Peter looked at John and said, what about him? That was basically a lack of love. You know, I just want to know that John's going to die a more grisly death than I am. That's all that Peter worried about. And we all do this. Oh, they had a wreck. Tell me what happened to them. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Okay? Tell me what happened. Did it mess them up? Okay, good. You know, am I telling the truth? I know it got really quiet, and I was like, I can't believe Pastor just said that. Lack of love for others. Number six is covetousness. And this is Colossians 3:5, and that it means idolatry. Covetousness in Colossians 3:5, it gives this list, and it basically says if you're covetousness, it's basically idolatry. You're worshiping things rather than God. And then the last one is jealousy and envy. Jealousy is usually about people. Envy is usually about things. And this is 1 John 2, verses 15 through 16. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. All right, now we're going to learn the cure of comparison. That was the cause. Now we're going to get to the cure, and everybody's like, praise God, because this is getting too heavy this morning. All right, this is Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 25 is the answer to this, and it says, because although they knew God, everybody say they knew God. All right, so we're talking about Christians here. We're talking about believers. They did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and charged the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Basically, they started worshiping the demonic. I mean, they just worshiped things that were not of God. And that still goes on today. I know this is written in some, I don't worship a bird or a four-footed animal or any creeping thing. Well, we worship stuff. A lot of idolatry that goes on. And then in verse 24, it says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And that's the Apostle Paul that wrote that. Now, I'm just going to take that first scripture there and show you the cure of, we'll just go back and let me show you this. Verse 21 says, because although they knew God, okay, they're believers, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So in that verse, verse 21 in Romans chapter 1, is the cure for comparison, and I'll show it to you. The cure of comparison is, first of all, he says they need to glorify God, and that means magnify God. Glorify is a word that we don't normally use today, but the word magnify, you need to make God bigger. A lot of times when God is small, then we start comparing ourselves to other people, other things, all this stuff, and you need to make God way bigger. Well, they don't have problems like I do. No, well, you need to magnify God. You're magnifying your problem. So you need to start magnifying God. The second thing that he said to do is be thankful. I'm going to give you a little test. Start thanking God for 10 things every day. You can't come up with 10, come up with 5. Can't come up with 5, come up with 3. If you can't come up with 3, come up with 1. At least be thankful for something every day. You know, the older I get, I'm thanking God for my health. I'm thanking God for all kinds of things and that I used to didn't be thankful for, that I took for granted. Be thankful. Be thankful. And what it does is when you're thankful, it starts change. You won't be comparing yourself. The other thing on that glorify, magnify God. That's talking about your prayer life. That's talking about your time in the Word yourself. When you're doing those things, your prayer life, your time in the Word, you'll start seeing comparison, the cure of it. It just starts going down because you're focused on you, that follow me principle. When Jesus said, don't worry about John, what I'm going to do with him. You follow me, Peter. You follow me. Don't worry about what other people are doing. A lot of people are too worried about what other people are doing. Amen. Follow me. Follow Jesus. And then the last thing is, when he was talking about their futile thoughts, what that means is we need to renew our mind. Well, you can't renew your mind until you get into the Word. So you got to get the Word in you, and that's how you start renewing your mind. And then Romans 12:15 will start, you start developing the fruit of the Spirit. All the things start happening in your life when you start renewing your mind. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Romans 12:15. So then you start doing this. Then you start rejoicing with those who get a new vehicle. Ah, man, they got an awesome vehicle. Even though I would like to have one, even though I have a 2007 and it's got 300,000 miles on it and it's about to fall apart. I'm telling off on myself. You start rejoicing with other people that get new things. And the blessings start happening in their lives. And then you weep with those who weep. Then you're not doing what I said earlier. Oh, they had a car wreck. Are they okay? Oh, darn. Am I telling... I love my aunts. They get it. My aunt's getting it this morning. Everybody else is going, I just cannot believe he just said that. But you, Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And that's the cure of comparison. All right, here's some takeaways that we're going to take away home today. Positive comparison is inspirational. There is good comparison. We've been talking about negative comparison today. But bad comparison is demoralizing and tormenting. All right, now here's the second thing. So that's if you don't remember anything, maybe you'll remember this commercial. Stay in your lane, bro. Just follow Jesus. Stay in your own lane. Don't quit comparing yourself to other people. Second thing is when I'm focused on comparing myself to others, I am not serving God and I am in the flesh. That was what that scripture we were doing was in Romans 8. That's when you're being carnally minded, and that leads to death. Psalms 139, this is a good psalms to go home and read because it tells you how you were made. Reminds me that I am made uniquely for a specific purpose. Jarek is over here in the womb and he's hearing his granddad preach this morning in the womb. God made him in the womb and he is unique and he has been formed for a specific purpose. And I'm going to get to see that in my lifetime and I'm excited about that. All right, the last thing is if we love someone, we want good for them. If you don't love them, you resent when something good happens to them. That's what we just talked about, and that's renewing your mind. If you love someone, we want to love people, and so we want to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And everybody said, amen. Did everybody get something today? Amen. Did this help you? Okay. All right, so I gave you some things. Just go out of here today glorifying God, magnifying God, being thankful, and renewing your mind to the Word of God, and that is the cure. And stay in your lane, bro. Or what's the ladies called? No, it's to just stay in your lane. Sister. Yeah, stay, go sister. We're getting all gangster up in here this morning. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads this morning. And I feel like I know pretty much everybody that's here today, but always have to make sure of this. Every Sunday before we go home, because I never take this time for granted, especially for those that are here, but also those that are going to be watching this on the internet or on the radio next Sunday, listening to this on the radio. So I want to make sure that everybody here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and it's called the Prayer of Salvation. Then the Bible tells us in Romans 10, that to become saved, it's the most easiest things to do. That all you have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I want to lead you in this prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And even if you are saved and you know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer with him. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me. And rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want everybody to stand up. I'm going to dismiss you. Before we dismiss, I'm going to speak a blessing over you. Jada, will you come up here with me, babe? And I want you to join hands with the person there next to you. and I'm going to speak a blessing over you. The word says in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26 is where this blessing comes from. And I have found something that kind of expounds on it that I'm going to speak over you today. But in Numbers chapter 6, this comes from Numbers 6, 24 through 26, and it says, when God gave this to Moses to speak over the people, he said, Moses, when you speak this over my people, you're actually putting my blessings upon them. So that's what I'm doing here this morning. I do this every Sunday. After I learned that in Scripture, I was like, this is something I'm going to do every Sunday when we have church. So I'm going to speak this blessing over you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, and everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. You're dismissed. Have a happy Memorial Day weekend. We're going to go back here and greet everybody.